Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Monday. What a terrific sports weekend. I was in anniversary mode, 26 years of marriage, so I was at the Princess, but I found time Friday. It's the type of marriage I have. Friday, I'm watching the World Cup women's soccer on Friday with my wife. And it's just how she is, how she's wired. Saturday, watched a little bit more of that. Yesterday, checked out and watched the NBA Finals last night. And we'll get into the Finals in a minute. I want to get into the Diamondbacks because I watched all three of their games in certain parts. Saturday night, I had a United soccer game, so I was in and out on that one. But saw most of Friday night and saw almost all of yesterday. And what a terrific, terrific weekend for them. I know they got smoked by the Dodgers last week. But I'm only 2 under 500. Yeah, me. I'm only 2 under 500 on my prediction of 84 wins. And so yesterday I decided to go just check wild card standings for the heck of it. It's like, you know, they're better than that. I haven't seen the wild card yet this year. There's two wild card teams. No longer just one. And so I clicked around and went through the standings, and they all have their wild card updated stuff. And the Diamondbacks are 2.5 out. Like, what? And then I put that out on Twitter, and of course I immediately got praised and cheered because I was so positive. I was so excited for the Diamondbacks, Brad. So great that you're into them. And then of course there's the guys for other teams that said, well, no, that's not technically true because all the games of today aren't over with, and da 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 da. Knock yourselves out. So I got crushed. It's fine. It's Twitter.
I think I might put you on the sliding scale for your prediction, just because at the beginning of the year you were like out there on an island and
84.
We all thought you were crazy.
84.
I think you should. I think it can be like Vegas, where you can even go like, you know, 83.5 or 83.
If I get 80, I'm pretty good.
You're pretty good.
I'm pretty good.
You're pretty good.
I'm one of being opt. It's very easy now for all you bandwagoners to jump on this thing.
And it's still, I mean, granted, let's not get the cart
sure.
before the horse. We are in mid-June, but
sure.
there is optimism, and that's a good thing.
Well, they don't blow. That's the thing. I mean, last year they just blew. They were awful.
Yeah,
like,
last year they would have been.
I've ever
last
seen.
Year they would have been swept in L.A. and then they would have gone to San Francisco and probably lost 2 out of 3 or gotten swept.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have swept themselves.
No.
To salvage the trip.
So, you know, I'm going to get into the Diamondbacks here in a second.
So far.
And, boy, the Coyotes, I saw the Republic yesterday was just, the whole editorial page is about the Coyotes and downtown and downtown and downtown, and which is fine. That's where they should have been to begin with. But people that were, we've got all figured out, we're going to go to the west side. Oh, people will drive. Sure they will. Oh, there's no question. This was brilliance on people's parts. Which it wasn't. But, man, they are all over the editorial pages, all over getting the team back downtown. I did talk to some people on Friday. I was off quite a bit last week as the story was breaking. And, you know, we wrote about a month ago on the whole Talking Stick thing and how Talking Stick is wanting to build this arena and do it on a very affordable plan. Robert Sarver is going to come out looking like the hero on all this, I think. And I'll get into that in a minute. And, of course, the NBA Finals. So let's get you caught up. What is on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. My Santan Ford experience later this week. I'm heading up to the White Mountains. Going to be up there once again. I think it's year number 5 now. I've been asked back to MC the Arizona State White Mountain Sun Devil Club. Big steak fry event they do through the years. I'll, of course, be driving my Ford Fusion up there. I've got a couple of friends who have vehicles from Santan Ford that are going to be up there as well. Thinking about doing a little bit of off-roading in theirs, not in my Fusion, okay? I'm not going to do that. Maybe head up to Danny White's Fishing Pond. I don't know. Just I'm going to be in the high country. And the Ford brand, the Ford name, the Santan Ford name, very popular with those Sun Devil fans. Santan Ford general manager Tim Hovick, big fan of ASU, big supporter of ASU. It's one thing to be a fan. It's another to support them and actually get behind them, and that's what he's done. Not just with the Sun Devils, but also with the Diamondbacks and the Arizona Cardinals. Santan Ford for that next vehicle for you. Summer's here. It's supposed to be 110 today, and you're thinking, let's make a run to the beach. But, man, my vehicle just won't cut it, or we've had a couple of additions. You know, little guys becoming big guys or girls. Maybe you need a bigger vehicle. Check out their wide variety, wide selection on SantanFord.com. That's Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista or SantanFord.com. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Derek Hall in about 10 minutes. So on the Diamondbacks front, Ruby De La Rosa was great yesterday. you have to make Daniel Hudson the closer. They're just getting to that point, and I know that they want to go through the, we don't want to rush him, and we want to make sure that his arm is fine and all that. De La Rosa was really good, but the Diamondbacks finally getting some offense out of people in their lineup that aren't at the bottom. That was key in yesterday's game.
Fly ball center field. It backs up. Maxwell still backing up, and he can't get it. Inciarte will score. Goldie right behind. Peralta will stop at third, and the Diamondbacks take a 3-0 lead.
And they'd go on and win by a score 4-0. So Hudson closed it out. I think you've got to start looking seriously, making him the closer. If you do that, then all of a sudden, Addison Reed becomes a trade piece. I had some friends yesterday that said Addison Reed is not going to bring you very much in exchange. But here's the thing on that. It's pretty evident that Aaron Hill has done a nice job here as a Diamondback, but he's being out there shopped, in my opinion. Addison Reed, that's another guy that's being shopped. They have a surplus of outfielders that somebody said, well, if you take away one of those four, you're only left with three. Well, maybe those three are really good and there's someone down on the farm or someone that comes back in exchange. I need to add more veteran starting pitching. I believe that is the way that this has got to go. It's nice to bring guys up off the farm. It's nice to get a good spot start or two out of them. But there's something to be said if you want to have long, long success. And sustainable success and get to my 84 wins, you've got to have some veteran guys, some veteran arms. So I'm very pleased with where they are. And they have the Angels today and tomorrow in Anaheim. Then they're back here with them on Thursday, Friday, and then the Padres are here this weekend. Actually, the Padres the next couple of weeks and the Rockies next week. So they're at a point in the schedule where, yeah, they're good teams. I wouldn't say they're great teams. They got mowed over by the Dodgers, but they're just sitting there on the outside, guys, the wild card. Beat on me all you want. Remember, I'm the guy that said 84 wins. I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here. The Coyotes, so Robert Sarver has said that he wants to get a new building. The current spot of U.S. Airways is not a big enough footprint to do a refab on it, from my understanding. Jerry Colangelo has said that on the air. Robert Sarver has been quoted on that as well. Now the Coyotes have their mess with Glendale. And by the way, the silliest story of the weekend, this just shows you how jacked up Glendale is. When you're the mayor and you decide to let people tase you because you think it's funny, there's nothing funny. There's no joke about this. There's nothing funny. It didn't make me see the Glendale mayor get tased by a Coyotes fan. It didn't do anything for me.
It wasn't just a Coyotes fan. It was the Coyotes fan who went up during the open meeting last week and completely skewered the...
No, but it's... Regardless, I just look at that as silly. Let's have solutions here. Let's not turn this into a joke.
Yeah,
there's
it wasn't poor
funny.
Taste. It really was.
Well, there's nothing funny about it. I don't know. I mean, the city's unhappy. The Coyotes are sitting there now back in another space legally. So you have a fan who skewers the mayor. That's really not that hard to do if you've seen this mayor in action, by the way. That's not very difficult to do. It's great she did it, not bagging on her. But I don't need jokes. I need solutions because it's June 15th. And if it's, hey, we got a great photo op out here, I can just see that. All the news running out there. And hey, coming up, the mayor gets tased. You're going to want to see this. No, I don't want to see this. And I didn't see it. I saw a little thing online about it. Like, come on. Are we really that juvenile here in this state? Come on. Grow up. But what would happen if, okay, and I talked to some business people downtown and some people on the legal end. What would happen if Robert Sarver took the present site of U.S. Airways and turned it into a mall? Follow me on this. A lot of Robert Sarver's money and what he's done, if you can go over to Horton Plaza, when you go to San Diego this summer, that's Robert Sarver's area. Robert Sarver was in on that. If you push the present U.S. Airways footprint into a mall with all those ASU students down there, grocery, whatever it may be, and to the south of that, keep going south, and that would be the new spot for a new arena. It would redevelop areas that have been blight. They're blight. They really are. Robert brings the Coyotes in. Robert saves the Coyotes. Robert comes out looking really good in this. And Robert will make a boatload of money. Then there's Scottsdale. Scottsdale would like to be involved in this. The Talking Stick footprint. They want to be involved in this. And I think before it's all said and done, Gila River is going to want to be involved in this. Their name's already on the arena out in Glendale. Can you make anything happen that will keep the Coyotes in Glendale that will have peace forever? Follow me on that. Peace forever. I don't see it. I don't see how there's going to be peace forever. There's always going to be something hanging over the heads in Glendale. And we can't just keep tasing people because it's entertaining. It's dumb. On the NBA Finals front, so last night, LeBron actually proclaimed, "I'm the best in the world." And people are hammering him on that today. Well, I don't know. He's got all of his buddies with him. Here's what LeBron said. This is LeBron last night. Are you still confident that you can come back and win this series?
I feel confident because I'm the best player in the world. That's simple.
Okay. I don't hate on LeBron for that. There'll be people that hate on him. He is. Have you seen the lineup that he has to work with? And he's actually, in my opinion, part of the problem here. How is that? Because he has all of his friends and his buddies that were brought in to be on the bench of the Cavaliers. I know you couldn't have foreseen the Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love injuries, but I don't know. Sean Marion, I love Sean. This is it for Sean. He hasn't breathed for a second on the court. It's a friend of LeBron's. The rest of their bench is nothing. And then he's out there putting out 40 and 14 and 11. He's putting up some numbers I'm going to go to a little bit later on that are just mind-boggling. And the fact that they actually were in a position, think about this. They're in a position where they could be the one up 3-2. They were that close. Those first two games were that close. And he's done it with a bunch of guys. J.R. Smith is just a nightmare out there on the floor to me. Shumpert does some nice things, and then he has brain cramps. Mozgov is there for a minute, and then David Blatt decides, well, I'm going to let Steve Kerr predict how we're going to play this game because he's going to go small. Steve Kerr's outcoached David Blatt, in my opinion. We're going to get into that as the show moves on as well. But on the other side, Derek Hall, Diamondbacks president and CEO. He's also a civic leader guy, and I want to know from his view the Coyotes situation. What does he see going on behind the scenes downtown? Could they put ice down at the arena, at the ballpark, I mean? The sweep of the Giants, are they really in a race for the wild card? And then Paula Bovin too, but Derek Hall's next.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Sports360AZ, we partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, streaming live day in and day out. We continue to grow by leaps and bounds. Brad Sussmat with you. So yesterday on Twitter, Twitter's always dangerous. I was of sane mind, sober, having a glass of water, and I just said, where do the wild card standings look like? And in the National League, and at the time, the Diamondbacks and the standings I looked at were 2.5 back. There's two wild cards now. And so I immediately said, you know, just saying it's June 14th, they're 2.5 out of the wild card, or the two wild cards. And immediately I have fans that are all excited, very positive of you, Brad. And then, of course, there's the nitwits that are fans of other teams but just want to pound on me for pointing that out. And then by last night, it's, well, the standings are wrong, da-da-da-da. Just please breathe. I wanted to have Derek Hall on regardless because there's a lot to get to with Derek, the president and CEO of the Diamondbacks. But look, I mean, you've got an MVP at first base, right? We would agree on that, right, Derek?
Absolutely.
Okay, you have a rookie of the year in Tomas, right?
The strong candidate, yep.
Okay, and you have a manager that, in my opinion, if you're going to do a story on managers who have done a very, very good job, I can't say manager of the year when they're not in first or second place, but the roster that he took over to where they are now, you'd have to say he's top three or top four in guys getting the job done in the National League this year, right? Am I right on all those fronts?
You are. Chip's done a phenomenal job. And I think what this weekend showed us is what we all know. You know, we're as good as our starting pitching is. And we knew going into the season that was going to be our biggest hurdle and our biggest challenge was starting pitching and that we were going to be developing guys. And we were hoping to see the Ruby De La Rosa that we saw yesterday. Unfortunately, the last couple before that were not very good. And that's what you're going to get when a guy is developing. But with Patrick Corbin coming back soon, who knows what happens at the trade deadline. It's good to be relevant here in mid-June.
Okay, so am I overreacting on the wild card stuff?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the fact that there are two now, it's it's really up in the air and it's open, and it's good that we're even in consideration and in contention. But you're exactly right. I tweeted out yesterday, you know, that's Twitter though, Brad. I tweeted out after our win yesterday. I said, you know, it's difficult to sneak, you know, brooms into AT&T Park, and boy, I got, you know, probably
crushed.
Yeah, probably 200 favorites and, you know, 50 retweets. Sure. And then there were a handful, 10 people who were Giants fans just saying, oh, you were lucky. You know, it's a game of luck and balls were hit hard. That's Twitter. And I had fun with it.
Yeah. All right. So does this mean that as you're looking at your roster, that you've already made the one move with Trumbo, which I was in agreement with. And I would tell you if I was like, what are you guys thinking over there? You know me well enough. But are you in this space where you're looking at it saying, guys, do we go for it this year or not? Or is it still give us another month? Let's see where things are July 15th.
Well, you know, I don't think we can forget that we're still in fourth place. You know, I mean, we're in a very tough division, and the Dodgers are who they are. The Giants are a very good team. I mean, they're the defending champs. The Padres improved greatly over the, you know, over the offseason, and here we are still sitting in fourth. I still think we can make a move. We're still going to make a run at some point. Mm-hmm. We would only make moves at the trade deadline that would help us this year if they also help us in the future. We can't do something where we're going to bring in, you know, a veteran guy or a guy in the last year of his contract just to try and help us this year. And a rental player doesn't make sense for what we're doing. It's not as if we're rebuilding because we have a lot of faith in our offense. But we also have to remember that Paul Goldschmidt is in the prime of his career right now.
Right.
And if we're going to strike, we're going to win, it's got to be within the next, you know, few years. And I think we're very close. That's the beauty of it. But there are going to be teams that are going to be sellers, and they're going to be selling those types of players. Now, it's how much are we willing to give up? Because in the past, yeah, Brad, we've talked about this. We gave up so much, and we gave up good young pitching, and we had to rebuild that, and I think we have. And we just had a very successful draft where we stocked the cupboard even more, but we got to be careful in what moves we make. I want to win this year, but I also want to make sure that we're still heading down the same path where we're going to win for several years and have a sustainable model.
No, I agree with that. I just think that it's really interesting sitting here in the middle of June that this is not, hey, let's start talking about what's going on next year. And
yeah, it's so nice. I mean, you look at last year and how that year went, it was over right away. We were, you know, when you're 8-22, you know the season's over. And that's why I feel so bad for teams like, you know, you look at some of them, Milwaukee's that way, Philadelphia's that way. We were that team last year, and it's not fun because you know you're out of it. We're in it. We're, you know, there's relevance here, and it's a lot of fun.
All right, Daniel Hudson. Closer, is he getting to that point? I've been beating that drum for a year now that at some point we may see him go down that road. You're not the manager, I get that. But from your view where he is that becoming more and more likely spot for him?
He's looking like that. I mean, he can come in and you know, tick up to 97 miles per hour like we've seen the last couple of days and get the ground ball when he needs to, as we saw yesterday. I agree with you. I think that's where he's heading. I still think we need to be, you know, handling him delicately this year, coming off two Tommy Johns, but he's showing that he's not fearful of it anymore. He's letting the ball go. He's looking like his old self. And the beauty of Daniel Hudson when he was a starter is the first couple times through, no one could touch him. You know, where he did have trouble with me maybe the third, fourth time through the order. And he was still a very dominant starter. But I think if you take that same approach and look at him one time through, needing to get three or four out, you know, three outs, maybe even four outs once he's stretched out, and you can use him in the eighth to get that final out, I think he's going to be very good.
Talking with Derek Hall, Diamondbacks president and CEO Brad Susmat, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, streaming live day in, day out. Where's Bronson Arroyo at in all this?
Coming along. You know, he had a setback last week. He felt a little something in his elbow, but he got through that. So he's still on track, and you know, we're going to see him come back at some point. Corbin, of course, much faster, much more progressed, where he pitched yesterday at Double-A, did a great job. You know, he got through four innings, and I think he had 73 or 75 pitches. So we're probably going to see him after a couple more starts, you know, two, maybe three more rehab starts, and Corbin will be up. And you think about last year, Brad, I mean, losing our ace was detrimental. I mean, you know, when that happened right before the start of the season, then you lose Hernandez, and seeing these guys come back really gives you hope. And Bronson is, he's amazing. I mean, you know, the guy has always been the same sort of pitcher where, you know, almost LeVon Hernandez-like, where he's going to throw a fastball mid, maybe upper 80s, and his off-speed stuff is going to keep you off balance and on your heels, and that's who he is. So getting him back would be nice. I know he's going to, you know, he's rehabbing, he's working hard, he's going to be back probably, you know, end of July if things work out well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How's Ken Kendrick handling all this? You know, Ken and I have talked through the years, and he's always been affable in coming on, and he sent me a text the opening day, said, I'm not going to come on. I'm not doing anything this year. I'm going to lay low. We can meet for coffee. We can do whatever. It's fine. It's fine. How's he handling all this? I haven't heard from him.
I think he's doing great, Brad. I mean, the thing about Ken is, I mean, he's learned over the years, as most owners do, what their, you know, what their level of input should be and what they want it to be. You know, and he's decided, hey, I've got Derek and Tony now. I'm going to let them do their jobs. And good for him that he actually went off to Aspen. That's his happy place. You know, he used to always take off for the summer. Last couple of summers, he hadn't been able to get away, and he was able to this past week to get up there, and I think that's great for him. But he's in a really good spot. You know, he's excited about the future of the team. And you know, last year was tough on him, as it is any owner. And I feel terrible for him. I want to win for our fans, but I want to win for him as well.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I mean, he's not getting any younger.
Right. And he deserves a winner. This guy, all he's done, he's never put a dime in his pocket from the team. He doesn't believe in that. He just wants the team to win. And it should be fun for him. And I hope it gets fun for him.
All right, you're a civic leader. I mean, you have this title of president and CEO, and I don't mean that in a flip sort of way, but you do an awful, awful, awful lot behind the scenes. You sit on numerous boards. You're connected politically. You're in a lot of different places. What do you make out of the Coyotes situation?
Well, I think any deal you look at, it's hard to believe that there wouldn't be one side that thinks they have a better deal. And in this case, you know, obviously the city believes that they have the bad end of the bargain, and I just think it's unfortunate because we need the Coyotes, like we need, you know, all of our teams, and I hope something gets worked out because we're a better city, we're a better market, we're a better state with the Coyotes here, and we need it for economic development, we need it for jobs, we need it for, you know, pride, and I just think it's unfortunate that this is going on, obviously.
Could you put ice down at the stadium?
We'll do whatever we have to, yeah. I mean, to keep the Coyotes. And I think, you know, there are going to be options. I hope it works out where they're at. But, you know, look, I know U.S. Airways would be an option. And I know, you know, the Suns, the city would obviously be open to helping out the Coyotes. And ultimately, at the end of the day, Brad, they need to be here.
Well, and I saw the editorial page yesterday. It was very strong about downtown. And I've heard that as downtown. And it's no secret that Talking Stick is looking at building a facility, and so there's going to be options.
I hope so.
But as a civic leader and somebody in my space too, I look at it more than just wins and losses, bats and balls, pucks and all that stuff. It's what is in the best interest. You never want to see a team lose a franchise. I think you were in LA when the Rams left, right?
Yeah.
And I was too.
Yeah, Rams and Raiders.
Yeah. I mean, we went through that, and I can even go back to being in high school and the Clippers pulled out of San Diego. So.
Right.
Nobody wants to go through that, and I think trying to find a solution. Have you reached out in any way, shape, or form to lend advice, credence, mend fences, bridge gaps, all that stuff?
I haven't, but they're good friends, and it happened at the end of last week, right before I took off for San Francisco, and I think at some point we probably will talk. They're no different. They're committed to their fans. They want to win.
Sure.
They've tried to turn this around financially here, and it was a deal that they just recently negotiated. So I'm sure this caught them by surprise. And this whole little storm is unfortunate, but it's not something that can't be worked through and worked out, I believe.
Yeah. How many churro dogs you sold this year?
You know, we're it's remarkable how many we're selling.
Yeah.
Now, think last year. I've got to get an update on the number, but last year we sold 10,000 of those D-bats.
Yeah.
You know, the D-Bat dog, we're going to sell many more churro dogs than that.
Yeah.
And opening day, we vowed that we wouldn't sell out. We sold out of churro dogs.
You know,
every weekend series, we're selling out of them.
Yeah. And you probably should have price pointed them a little higher, maybe.
Ah, come on. We're affordable. You know that, Brad.
I know. You have anything on Dansby Swanson? Anything on Dansby Swanson so
I think
far?
He made himself the best player in the draft, at least best college player. And we were focused, again, going back to your original point of is now the time for us to strike. You know, it's not a rebuild. And I think if we were rebuilding, we would have looked at guys who were high school players. And there were some exciting high school players. But we've done that in the past, and you wait and you wait and you wait. And it's 5-6 years before they're even close to being ready. So for us, we went almost exclusively college players that are much more close. And Dansby to us was just the best player available. You know, when you have depth there and you have guys like Chris Owings and you have Nick Ahmed, you know, it's not so much a need, but you go with the best player available, and that's who Dansby Swanson is. And he's proven that he can play in the spotlight, he can play on big-time TV, and he's a leader. He's a guy of great character, and he's got all the tools.
Man, you're gushing over him.
I love him. Yeah, we all do. I mean, we were excited. When you make your first pick announcement, there's always, you know, standing ovation and applause. I remember we did that with Jay Up, as we should have. It was the same sort of reaction with Dansby Swanson that I haven't really seen the last couple of years, but you felt it this year, like, whoa, this is a can't miss.
Yeah, as long as you don't have to do that first overall pick ever again.
No,
ever.
I don't want it again.
Ever.
I don't want it again.
All right. See you later. Thanks for the
all
time.
All right, Brad. Thank you.
Take care. This is Derek Hall, President and CEO of the Diamondbacks. Look, they're right there. I think you probably have to wait till July 1st. You can't just go out and make moves right now. And I agree with them. Like, I've been banging this Cole Hamels drum for years now, and it would have been foolish last year. If you're sitting here on July 1 and you're 2.5, 3.5 back, or maybe you're even by then, I don't know. I think you have to go for it. You really do, with two wild cards. Paula Bovin is next. News and notes with Paula. We're going to talk with her about the Coyotes and much more. That is on the other side, sports360az.com. On a Monday, we partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
Good to catch up with Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. She joins us on this Monday. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Brad.
Yeah, good. Good to hear. Are you like me looking at the expanded wild card standings in the National League West now? Or National League?
I've been doing that the last couple weeks, even when they were struggling, because they're not out of it. And, you know, for people, especially for the not diehard fans, but the kind of fans, that stat is what keeps you interested in the season, you know? How many games back are they? Is there a possibility? What are the chances? And, you know, you sweep the Giants and the starting pitching looks the way the Diamondbacks starting pitching has. Kind of changes the dynamics of it.
Okay, so you would agree with me that Goldschmidt is a MVP candidate?
Absolutely.
Would you agree with me Tomas is a Rookie of the Year candidate?
You know, I think now that's the case, but there's obviously a lot of season to be played, and I would say I'm just, not that I'm lacking confidence as someone who follows him what he's going to do, but I think there's a better feeling about Goldschmidt than there would be about what he can sustain. Well,
but it's, he'll get a vote or two, I think.
Yeah, of course.
And it won't
just
come from Arizona media, I don't believe, but
no, I think and I've been seeing some national stories. His story is interesting, and he's captured the attention of national media. Not quite like, you know, Goldschmidt has, but certainly there's interest.
Sure. It's June 15th, by the way, when we're having this conversation, so I know all things can change.
Well, you know, and with the Diamondbacks, it's, you know, now's the time to have the conversation, because the last few years you weren't having conversations as the season progressed like this, so it's interesting.
We would agree that Chip Hale is in the category of done a really good job. He's not manager of the year in the National League, I don't believe, but he's done a really good job.
No question. And I think that's so indicative. Well, if you look at this team and typically the way they've played, I know the offense didn't generate a lot of runs this series, but the way they come back, kind of the fire, the spit in them, you know, the desire, I think that's a reflection of him. And they seem to be mentally in a very good place. You know, a few times I've been down there around that clubhouse, around the players.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they feel like there's vision with this organization, and they feel like they have good leadership. And, you know, baseball, more than any other sport, I believe, it's at the major league level or professional level, street cred is everything with a manager, and he's, you know, he's paid his dues. He's worked hard to get where he has. He's a baseball guy, and I think there's a lot of street cred with him.
We're talking to Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist, my friend, for a couple of minutes, as we do every Monday, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Okay, so after the last 2 minutes of you and I chatting about all this,
right?
Don't they go for it? Don't you go, look, you've got some parts. Addison Reed is a part. I think Hudson's your closer, they keep saying. And we just had Derek on. You know, we want to be cautious and all that stuff. I get it. But Aaron Hill's a part that you could move. You've got still a surplus of outfielders. Go find a pitcher at the top of the rotation that's not a rent-a-pitcher. I don't know who that is. I mean, I've said Cole Hamels forever, but Cole Hamels is a big number. I think they're in this thing.
So you're saying go for it, like go for it all, just make the big blockbuster deal so you're poised to do something in the postseason.
I say don't go do the Jared Parker, Carlos Gonzalez moves that were just dumb.
Right.
But I am saying that, look, if you go add a starting pitcher at the top of this rotation, it's nice how they pitched this weekend against the Giants. They did it with somebody that no one's ever seen or heard of on Saturday, which is fine. De La Rosa yesterday, better and better. Chase Anderson on Friday night, really good, okay?
Right.
But none of those three are going to put the fear of anybody, or do they even have the mental makeup when you're sitting here on August 15th, potentially a game up or a game back? You
right.
have to have that person that walks out there that says, I've been in this before. I've been in this space. Or, Brad, too early. Let's see where they are on July 31st. I don't know. If you strike now and find that guy, that's my point. And
well,
you instantly energize the clubhouse even more.
There's no question. I mean, it's what they need to do. And, you know, we're led to believe, and I think there's good reason that the people in place, like La Russa and Stewart, can do that, can find that guy, can find maybe it isn't as obvious maybe as we think of who that person might be. I just don't know if that's how this organization is wired right now. Obviously, they want to be successful and they want to win, but are they looking at this year, or are they looking as maybe building toward yet next year or the year after? Do they feel like the window's closing on Goldschmidt? I don't think so. So I don't know if that's something we'd see this year from this management group.
Well, doggone it. I want to see that.
I'm sorry to burst your bubble.
No, I want to see that because I truly believe when you're this close in a wild card race and every fifth day you roll somebody out there that can give you more than what they're getting out of some of the guys. Like, I have no problem with Cole Menter going to the bullpen. Cole Menter should have gone to the bullpen
sure.
a couple starts ago.
Sure.
I think they've seen the best out of Hellickson, so move Hellickson out. I'm firing players right and left here, Paula. It's what I do. I don't know.
Well, you know, I think for fans, it's exciting to think that at least they're in the mix, or they could be in the mix. I just don't know if we're going to see any kind of blockbuster deal with this team. I don't know. I'd be stunned, but
right.
I've been surprised before.
All right. The editorial page of your newspaper yesterday was in full attack mode of, we have to get the Coyotes downtown. That's the vibe. That is what I saw. And that Glendale has been a gigantic mistake. And I'm not going to argue with them on either front, but I do think it's interesting how this is starting to shift. And I talked to some business people and some political connections this last week when I wasn't doing the show. And the vibe I got is Robert Sarver could come out looking like a prince out of all this. If, in fact, he goes and moves the arena south a mile or so, within some blight that is south of the present footprint, and that present footprint gets turned into a shopping mall or grocery store, shopping mall, whatever it may be of that current footprint, and the Coyotes are saved, they move downtown with all the infrastructure in place. Hearing that pretty hard, pretty loud. What are you hearing out of all this with the Coyotes?
I'm hearing similar. I think that, you know, I think the Coyotes are still in a place where they're trying to make work what they have now. I mean, they had a lease agreement that they thought was going to stick and that they could handle, and, you know, they thought that was the situation. But my understanding now is because of Phoenix, you know, the mayor's putting out his hand and saying, hey, let's be a little more aggressive. Somebody told me that the huge fan reaction, nobody should be surprised, but the huge support for putting these two teams together in downtown Phoenix has overwhelmed the team in the sense that it's showing that people are interested in the Coyotes. You know, sometimes you don't feel like there's a pulse with this team. And the fact that there's so much excitement about this discussion, I think, has impressed the team. And, I mean, the whole thing, it seems like such a win-win situation. Obviously, what happens to Glendale, what happens to the arena, you know, how much it can survive on its own is not the win-win. But I think when you talk, you know, it's tough getting stadiums built for one thing because you need private funding. You need to get something often taxpayer vote, although, as we know with the Banquet Ballpark, that didn't happen. You know, you need some political involvement. And then you probably about a two-year window it takes to build a new facility. And these $55, $65 million facilities. It's not easy to get done, but with this kind of public support, which I think some people weren't expecting, that could help their cause, whether it's with bonds, whether it's put to a vote, whether it's city council, you know, whoever are the political pieces involved. I think that possibility excites people. And you would have to think financially, when you've got two teams involved in one arena, and I don't know how they would break down the numbers with that, it seems to make financial sense too. So, and there are, what, 8, 9, 10 facilities like that already that share NBA, NHL. And so obviously it works. You know, it's just a matter of it can get done here. But I think it would solve a lot of problems.
Well, it's like in Staples Center. You know, you have two
right.
basketball teams and you have an NHL
right.
team.
Absolutely.
And they do just fine over in Los Angeles. In terms of what happens to Glendale, it's Glendale's fault, okay? When I see the mayor making a spectacle out of himself by being tased, and anybody who thinks that that's funny...
That was just creepy to me. Creepy.
Well, it's we do some things in our state that are just ass backwards, okay? We do some
yep.
things in our state that are just random. And we
right.
think that they're funny. And there's nothing funny about a team that is like, hey, I'm unhappy with my lease. And the owner's like, well, because you're so vocal about it, I'm going to let you tase me. Okay, so I guess the next time somebody has an apartment that they're not happy with, just go tase the landlord. And we'll think that it's all really cute. No, it's not cute. It's not funny at all.
And it was just not professional.
No, and that's the whole thing with Glendale.
Right, but you know, and the thing I'd like to know is if arena like that can sustain itself on with concerts and with shows and with monster trucks and all those other things. Can they survive with those kind of things? Because my understanding is the guys who book concerts, the performers, they love that arena. The
yeah.
access to be able to, you know, pull up, and it's very modern and able to set up your facilities and everything like that inside. I mean, I heard it's a very popular venue for people booking those things, but that's the storyline though I wonder about, but my goodness, sharing a facility downtown Phoenix would be the best case scenario.
Well, is Talking Stick just being used? Okay, so
well,
then you have
and
to
that's
to
possible
that.
Too, but I hope they're exploring that for real. And, you know, you brought that up a while ago, and it's so interesting to me because of how supportive the tribes have been with sports and their willingness to sometimes donate land or at least put money in to help the process. I think that would be an amazing spot.
But who's the leader here, Paula? That's when I've talked to these people last week, it's who is the person that can connect the dots? And nobody neither one of these teams want to hear Jerry's name brought up, but it's just a fact that there's not somebody that can connect dots that is civically inclined to make it happen. I would really like to read that story or talk to that person who can navigate through all this and get the parties together before I have to go through the moving vans or have to go through they worked it out in Glendale, because I'm just tired of Glendale. Glendale's acted amateurish in this. They're upset with the Coyotes. They're never happy with the Coyotes. And those of you in Glendale, it's a fact. You've never been happy.
It's a national joke. I mean, how things have unfolded there. The way it's all happened. I love that you mentioned Jerry's name. I know people hate that, but I mean, it was one of his great traits of being able to broker things, you know, find people to put in money or get sides to agree. It wasn't just Jerry as an owner or, you know, getting a building done. It was, he's got the best people skills of probably anybody in that position. We know that people usually as highly regarded as Jerry often lack that trait. They're brilliant. They can, you know, they can crunch numbers. They can make money. But to be able to broker things with the people skills that he has was his finest trait, and you just wonder if maybe he can get back involved again with it.
Well, he's a developer. He's a developer, so
right.
I mean, he may have some land south of there, and he's got his own agenda with. And I say that not in a negative sense. He has his own agenda. He's trying to get the U.S. the USA Basketball Place project back in line. So
right.
I think this is a really crucial time in town, and I don't think tasing mayors or having just discourse about this, there has to be a group, and I don't see the group. That's my concern. So,
no, you're right. I mean, there hasn't been anybody step forward, whether it's one person or whether it's a committee. But I also think there's, you know, this is in the early stages of everything just unfolding as quickly as it has, and how Glendale blindsided everybody. You know, it hasn't been that much
time
that's passed. So, you know, there's time for these things to happen.
All right. Stay well. Appreciate the time as always.
All right, Brian.
There's Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. A very civic conversation, very civil conversation, I should say, and civic too. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. So the Patriots get their rings. These rings, we've got some pictures we're going to show you on the other side. I want to talk about that and then get back over on LeBron James a little bit more. It's a busy Monday, a lot going on in the world of sports. Stay with us. Looking forward later this week to be up in Pine Top. We'll be emceeing once again for the fifth year in a row, the White Mountain Sun Devil Club Steak Fry. It's always good times, like 800 fans, all these ASU maroon and gold guys, girls jumping around having a good time. Coach Graham will be there, and Ray Anderson and Charlie Turner Thorne and several of the coaches. And I'll be looking forward to doing that. That'll be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Goody's going to be in. Eric, are you aware? Are you aware, Eric, on Goody and the story on Goody Kuntz? What's going on with Bill and the show?
Not really.
No? So
I'm always kind of the last to know, though. So
you're only the producer of the show. So
yeah.
Friday I'm taking off. And Goody, I've talked to Bill through the years saying, you know, Bill, you're more than just a movie guy. You're so random, and people like hearing you. When I say random, I mean it in a loving sort of way. And so I said, you know, why don't you do the show? Well, who's going to work it with me? Just you. You're going to sit right here by yourself. No co-host, nobody else, just you this Friday. Do I have to talk sports? Of course you do. But you can talk about other stuff, whatever of interest to you. That's how I believe. When I have people that do this show, and it's actually Eric that works on a lot of them, we have a group of people that we really respect and admire. And I've always looked at Bill in a way that he's just out there. And what a train wreck would be to put him on the air. So let's do it. So Bill says, done, I'll do it. And he sends me a note that night and says, I booked Jimmy Kimmel. So he's going to have Jimmy Kimmel on the show on Friday, which will be great. I have no idea what he's going to talk to Jimmy Kimmel about, but the facts are he got him.
Well, we skew local, so that only makes sense since Jimmy Kimmel's an ASU guy.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
I'm just kidding.
He'll be fine. You'll be here, right?
What?
You'll be here Friday.
No, huh? Nope.
Oh, you're gone too.
Part of my 6 weeks vacation is kicking in this week.
So you're not going to be here.
Nope.
I'm not going to be here. No co-host.
Jared will be here.
Jared Nielsen is just in for the – who's in for you, Jordan?
Yeah.
So it'll be Jordy and Jared and Goody on Friday with Jimmy Kimmel. That will be a train wreck. Are you going to stream it? I'm going to watch.
No, I'm not going to stream
it. Oh, come on. What are you talking about? No.
I'm going to be on vacation.
You sound so negative. This is your livelihood.
My livelihood?
Sure it is.
How Bill Goodykoontz does as a fill-in host on Friday?
If he screws up, we're done.
Hey, it's not my show.
We're finished. So.
My name is not attached to that show on Friday.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So if it's great and I have to send out resumes on Monday, I'll know why.
That's right. That's right. I'll send you a text. The Patriots Super Bowl rings, in all seriousness. I don't know how I can be too serious about this. They were distributed last night. Bob Kraft had an event at his house. Do we have pictures of these rings? They are, from what I've understood, I've not seen them yet. I've heard that they are floating around out there. Ah!
Ooh.
205 diamonds.
That's it?
I want to know what the PSI is on those.
Jeez.
The 12.5 PSI?
They're cubic zirconium, I'm sure.
They pump up the air in those? Make them bigger than they're supposed to be or lighter than they're supposed to be?
Those are nice rings.
It's Tom Brady's. Yeah, when you put that on, when do they wear those?
Yeah, when does anyone wear their championship ring? When you want to get mugged, basically?
So yeah, just throw them all on, you know? 205 diamonds. Why not? Build is the biggest Super Bowl ring ever. Is that Bob Kraft's way of saying, you know what? For everybody that went after us over Deflategate, I'm going to go buy the biggest, most obscene rings for every last person. I want to know if the guys that took the air out of the football, did they get a ring like that?
I don't know.
They probably pawned it.
It's a good point you make. He probably did say, you know what? Throw a few more extra diamonds.
Absolutely.
In there. We don't care. We just
won
the Super Bowl.
We don't care. This is our way of saying, read between the lines. We won. You didn't. This is our deal.
Because you know the word defiant and Patriots pretty much go hand in hand.
Pretty much go hand in hand. Right. You guys can explore us and make fun of the PSI in the rings all you want, but the facts are you don't have one, and we do. There's nothing you can do about that. So that story caught my eye. Back over on the finals. Curry's shots that he makes are just obscene. They're just beyond description. When you watch him and you see when he's in rhythm, like I'm watching Klay Thompson, and I may be the only one who's been thinking this, is Klay Thompson still struggling over blood coming out of his ear in the Western Conference Finals? You know, is he still jacked up over concussions? Because he hasn't had a very good series. He hasn't done much. Steph Curry, did he hit a wall mentally of this grind? Because it's a grind when you go from first series to second series to third series, then all of a sudden your body just says, enough of this. You know, Curry had 37. Here's Steph Curry on his work still isn't done as of yet.
We fought hard all year and put ourselves in good position now to go to Cleveland and hopefully close it out. So we're confident. We're not getting ahead of ourselves. We're the locker room, if you walked in there, was the exact same after a regular season win.
He's fun. He's must-see TV. 17 in the fourth quarter.
And the thing that's amazing, Brad, is you and I have had the benefit of being out on an actual NBA court.
Sure.
And seeing how far away from the basket an NBA three-pointer is. And Steph Curry shoots it like it's a free throw. I mean, it's so effortless. And if you stand out there at the top of the key at U.S. Airways Center, whatever they're calling it now, and actually look at how far these guys shoot, it's incredible.
Well, we also don't have somebody who's 6'4", 220 pounds
That's right.
coming at us.
That's right.
Who's trying to fight through a screen. Like, when I see Cleveland, Dellavedova's trying to go over the top of screens, and he goes under screens, and he's a step late. He can't get there. You know, on the other end of the floor, when LeBron has Iguodala on him, yeah, put him down low and just let him back in. It's really not that hard. I thought LeBron threw up some careless shots yesterday. I think the guy is trying to win it all on his own because he just doesn't have that much talent around him. And yet the numbers he puts up, LeBron has played, I've got it here, 228 of the possible 250 minutes so far. 228 of 250.
It's insane.
He scored 183 points with 62 boards and 44 assists. The Cavaliers have been outscored by 22 with James on the floor in the series. When they take him out, and usually Blatt takes him out at the end of the third quarter with about a minute 10 to go, which is fine because you have that minute 10, then you have the television break, and then he tries to sit him for the first minute and a half to 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. So really he's getting about a 7 minute break. It seems to me that he should be doing the same thing in the first quarter into the second quarter, but he doesn't have anybody. You know, LeBron, friends of LeBron include James Jones, who's done very little of anything. Sean Marion, God bless Sean, love Sean. It's all over for Sean. He hadn't played at all in this series. LeBron is their backup point guard. When you look at Cleveland and how David Griffin put this roster together, was it really David Griffin putting this roster together? Or was it LeBron James saying, I want these guys to be part of my team?
Don't forget about Mike Miller, too.
Mike Miller, right. And Mike Miller came in and hit 1-3 last night. But really, they're playing with seven guys. And Steve Kerr has taken Mozgov, took Mozgov out of it last night. And I thought that David Blatt, in his mind, is, well, I got to respond to Steve Kerr. Rather than, Steve Kerr's got to respond to us. If I've got Mozgov on the floor and Harrison Barnes is hitting 20-foot jump shots, then I got a real problem here. But they didn't do that. And so LeBron's just worn out. When I watch their offense, there's no offense there. It's very stagnant. J.R. Smith, get him out of here. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Every day we join you for a couple of hours, and then, of course, we have plenty of content on our website, sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmatt.